Thank you, Reverend. Morning, church. How are you today? Are you happy? It's so good to be back, and Fee is with us in spirit. She's praying for us this morning back at home, and looks forward to seeing you sometime in the future. But hey, it's been a wonderful time since we've been here. No doubt you've had some wonderful experiences with the Lord. You might have heard last year when we were here, we were planning a trip to Kenya where we were doing some crusades. And just to sum that up very, very quickly, we did do 527 outreaches while we were there, along with five main gospel crusades and fire conferences with the pastors and leaders in those particular towns. We saw 198,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm not taking credit for it, but it just blows my mind how incredibly ripe the harvest is. And then shortly, just this week, in fact, we're heading off to Malaysia, and I will be preaching in Malaysia over Easter weekend. And then taking a short break, Fee will come home and I'll go on to the Philippines. I'm taking a team of evangelists there, and we're going to spend 2 weeks doing a whole bunch of outreaches. We're believing for a great harvest there as well. And then June, July, I'm taking four different teams into Zambia, and we're going to do four crusades. So I'll be there for 8 weeks. Fee's coming for 3.5 weeks, and we're believing for another mighty harvest of souls. So if you could keep us in your prayers during that time, that'd be wonderful, eh? Pretty exciting days we're living in, eh? God is doing great things around the world, and he's really, really bringing in a great harvest. But not only that, he's beginning to break out in different ways, in different places. And I'm excited about the very days that we're living in. And if you know, Smith Wigglesworth once prophesied that Australia was chosen by God for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would usher in the return of the Lord. And he said it would start in Australia. When he was talking to a revivalist by the name of Lester Summerall, he actually said this about that revival: "I see the last day revival. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring the sick to those churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move." Is this one of those churches? Oh, good. Because it goes on to say, "And I see every form of disease healed. Nobody will be able to count those who come to Jesus. No disease will be able to stand before God's people. It will be a worldwide thrust of God's power and God's anointing upon mankind." Isn't that exciting? I believe revival and miracles go hand in hand. In fact, who believes in miracles? Give me a wave. You know, ever since I was a little boy, I believed that God was a God of miracles. Because when I grew up in this small town in New Zealand called Hawera, my mum was a partner with T.L. Osborne and Oral Roberts. You remember these great healing evangelists back in the day? And so magazines from their ministry were there in the magazine rack. And I remember picking them out and having a look through at the pictures and seeing these great crowds of people, and turn over the page and I'd see pictures of people up on the platform testifying of their miracles. You know, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the cripple of the lame walking, the lepers were cleansed. Turn over the page, there'd be a big pile of braces and crutches and things that people needed to get to the meeting, but they didn't need them when they left the meeting because they were healed by the power of God. Pretty awesome, eh? My mum also used to have this old lady come to our house. Her name was Sister Perry, and she had a healing anointing or healing ministry. She was 80 years of old age, but still God was using her, praying for the sick and praying over prayer cloths right in our house. So this is the stuff that was being fed into my spirit when I was a little boy. And so whenever an evangelist came to our church, I'm always watching them and listening to them. If they had books, I'd buy their books and read their books. And we had Stuart Grimmins from Australia come to our church in New Zealand, and he had a book, How to Heal the Sick. So I bought the book, I read it, and then I thought, all right, I'm going to give it a go. So I'm going to pray for the sick. So I started praying for my friends and my flatmates, and just first of all, it was things like headaches and runny nose, sore throat, sprained elbow, something like that. And guess what? God healed them. It was awesome. And you go from one thing to another. I was in the flat where I was sharing with these guys. I was downstairs in my bedroom playing away on my drum kit. One of the guys upstairs, his girlfriend had come over, and he comes running down into my room. He says, Carl, Lisa has got one leg shorter than the other. Come upstairs and do your stuff. I said, it's not my stuff, it's God's stuff, but I'll come and pray. It sounds exciting. We went upstairs, we sat her down in the chair in the dining room. One leg was shorter than the other. I said, let's all lay hands on her and pray. As we prayed, right in front of our eyes, we literally watched her leg grow out. We got so excited. Let's go to the hospital, pray for some sick people, you know. It wasn't long after that that I moved to Australia. And when I came to Australia, I started to get a bit of a reputation amongst my friends and associates here, because if someone came up to me and said, "Hi, Carl, how are you?" I'd say, "I'm fine, how are you?" Now, they might say, "Oh, I'm all right, but I've got a headache, or I've got a sore tummy or sore foot or something." I'd just say, "Well, do you want it?" As far as I was concerned, if you didn't want it, all I needed to do was lay my hands on you and pray, and God would heal you. So again, amongst my friends and associates, there was these healings happening, and it wasn't long before God actually opened some doors and opportunities for me to go on some missions trips. If you've never been on a missions trip, I really encourage you. Back in that day, I wasn't the preacher. I was playing my guitar, I was in the drama, I was sharing a testimony, something like that, right? But then when it came altar ministry time, everyone in the team would start praying for the people. And miracles were happening in front of us. In fact, we would get more excited about it than the people we were praying for, because they were expecting something extraordinary, because after all, we were God's men and women of power, because we'd come from overseas, if you know what I mean. A big shot is sometimes just a little shot in another country, eh? But then I'd come back to Australia. I'd come back to my church, and there'd be someone there that didn't know me very well, and I'd see they were sick, and I'd say, "Listen, can I pray for you? God wants to heal you." And they're like, "Oh, I'll be all right." I'm like, no, come on, let me pray for you. He'll heal you right now. They're like, "All right, go on then if you want to." But they weren't expecting anything to happen, you know, because I was just one of the other young people in the church. Do you know Jesus had that same problem? The Bible says he was going throughout the countryside. He was preaching and healing the sick, even raising the dead. But when he came to his own hometown, the people said, "Who does he think he is? This is just the carpenter's son. His brothers and sisters are here. He can't do any miracles." And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. See, unbelief is the enemy of our faith. Unbelief will snatch out of your hands the miracles, the blessings, the promises that God himself has put in your hands. And I find it amazing, unbelief even stopped Jesus from performing miracles. Crazy, eh? Now, this is what I've discovered. Before you become a Christian, you may not believe in miracles. But if you come to a church that preaches the Word of God and believes the Word of God, you are going to hear about miracles. You're going to maybe see a miracle. Someone prays for someone, or maybe prays for you, or you pray for somebody, and healings are happening. And as we grow in our relationship with God, so also our faith for the miraculous will increase. Would you agree with me? But I've also discovered it only seems to take one or two unanswered prayers. Or the prayer's answered, it's taking longer than we thought, or it's different to how we imagined it was going to happen. And it seems to take the edge off our faith. You know, we're wondering if God actually heard us. And then we're kind of like, is there something wrong with me? Or is there something wrong with God? Or, you know, does God still heal today? And then you have these people who create a theology that says God does not heal today, because that's their experience. And then they sit in churches calling themselves believers, but they're really unbelievers. And the problem with unbelieving believers is they don't believe they don't believe. It's true. I've got to be honest with you. Sometimes the hardest place to preach the Word of God is to people in church, because they got so used to things not happening that they just kind of like, it's a culture shock for them to actually talk about biblical Christianity. But in the Bible, there's an interesting story there, because there's King Herod captures James, the leader of the church, puts him in prison, chops off his head. Not real happy for the church, and wouldn't be happy for your church if James' head was chopped off. But it pleased the Jews, so he then captured Peter, another leader of the church, put Peter in prison, had the same intention of chopping off his head. So the church gathered together to pray. The Bible says they were praying fervently for Peter's release from prison. Guess what happened? An angel appeared in the prison, gives Peter a nudge. His chains fall on the ground. The angel says, "Come on, Peter, we're out of here." And the prison door just opened up right in front of them by itself. They walk through the door, past the guards. The guards see nothing. Go out to the gate. Gate opens up. Walk past the guards again. They can't see a thing. He walks out onto the street and walking along with the angel, and the angel disappears. Peter realizes, he comes to himself, he wasn't dreaming. So he goes to the house where the Christians are praying, and he knocks on the door. Servant girl comes to answer the door. She has a look through the peephole. She sees that it's Peter, And she got so excited, she forgot to open the door. So she ran into the room where the Christians are praying. She goes, Peter's at the door, Peter's at the door. They look at her like she's been smoking something. It's like, what are you talking about? How can Peter be at the door? Peter's in prison. You're mad. You're crazy. What were they praying for? Peter's released from prison. What happened? Peter was released from prison. And they didn't even believe it. See, it's one thing to think you believe. But it's another thing to believe and actually expect things to happen when you pray. So I want to quickly give you some keys to seeing things happen when you pray, and then we're going to pray and things are going to happen. How's that? Is that a good deal this morning? All right, so the first thing is simply this. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify yourself. You know, the Bible talks about the devil as being the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God day and night, right? But how many people have discovered he also seems to get into our head, right? And make us feel down on ourselves. And who do you think you are? I mean, God's not going to listen to you. God's not going to use you. Look where, what you've done. And you know, we kind of feel that we can only just sit there on the outside and be a spectator, but not really step into what God's got for his people and what he promises us. If anyone should think this, I would imagine it would be the Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15. Remember back in the day, the Jews, the Canaanite people didn't get on, right? Similar to what's going on today. But what happened is Jesus was having a dinner party with his disciples and a Canaanite woman turned up. She starts crying out to Jesus. The disciples basically said to her, "Oh, yuck, Jesus, that's a Canaanite woman. Get rid of her." And he responded culturally and he said to the woman, "Woman, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. Goodbye." And she didn't give up. You know, she's, "But Lord, you've got to help me. My daughter's demon possessed." And Jesus said to her, "Look, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs or to the little dogs under the master's table." It's like, what the heck? You know, what would you think? You would think, okay, miracles are not for me, obviously. But she didn't give up there. She got right down on her knees in the face of Jesus, right in the face of God. And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the master's table." And Jesus said, "Wow, woman, you've got great faith." And her miracle was given to her. So it doesn't matter what your background is, what culture or race you come from or whatever. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. If you come to God through faith in Jesus, you can reach up and you can take hold of the children's bread. You can receive that promise that God has for you in his word. Can you say amen to that? Number two, we need to look to the contents, not the container. We've got a real bad habit in Western culture, Western Christian culture, of looking to the container. Give me an example. You know, there'd be a special event on. Maybe there's an evangelist come to town or a prophet come to town and all the churches come together. It's a big event and a big altar call for ministry. And you come out on that altar call because you want that person to pray for you. You want that evangelist, that prophet to come and lay his hands on you. And you're down here. And what happens? Because there's so many people, the pastors of the local churches, they start coming and helping and praying and all that. And one of your pastors comes and prays for you. And what do you think? Oh, ripped off, man. It's like, he can pray for me any day. Oh, I wanted that guy to pray for me. And you stay there, don't you? You just wait just in case this other guy will come around and eventually lay hands on you. Or maybe you go from meeting to meeting and you're just waiting for a word of knowledge, describing your situation down to the minute detail, including the color pajamas you wore to bed last night and what you had for breakfast. And then you're right, okay, that's me. I'll come out, you know. But what is this all doing? It's putting our faith in a man, or it's putting our faith in a man's gift, rather than just simply putting our faith in the Word of God. I want you to imagine if Jesus came to Gladstone and had a healing crusade. Jesus heals Gladstone 2024. How many of you would go to that healing crusade? Come on, he was here in person. You'd be there, wouldn't you? And if he had an altar call praying for the sick, how many of you would go down that altar call? You know, even I wasn't sick, I'd go and stub my toe or bang my knee into the wall or something just to get out there. I'd go and get him to pray for me for a pimple. You know what I mean? Just to get Jesus to put his hands on me. But do you know Jesus did not do the miracles he did simply through the power of being the Son of God? What do I mean by that? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, when Jesus came to the earth, he emptied himself of his divine power. Hebrews chapter 2 says he was just like his brothers or just like you and I in every way. So while Jesus was growing up, he had no more power than you or me. But then the Bible also tells us in Luke chapter 3 and Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then it says the Holy Spirit filled him. Then it says he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he fasted 40 days. He was tempted by the devil, but he overcame the devil with the Word of God, right? And the Bible says he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he went into the synagogue. He read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he made the declaration, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to bind up broken hearts, to set the captives free, to open blind eyes, etc." And everything that Jesus did, he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he said something amazing in John chapter 14, verse 12. "Anyone who has faith in me," give me a wave, do you have faith in Jesus this morning? This is you. "Anyone who has faith in me, the works that I do, shall you do also." Come on. God, that's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? But he didn't even stop there. What did he go on to say? "And greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father." Why did he take that on? What did he do when he went to the Father? He sent the Holy Spirit. So every single one of us could receive exactly the same power source that Jesus himself had. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Yes, you'll be made bold, but also, God, you're going to be his hands, you're going to be his feet, you're going to bring Jesus to the world around you in an amazing way. So we don't have to go to some superstar Christian to get prayer. If we have a need, we just go to someone who is full of the Holy Spirit and has faith. And if you're full of the Holy Spirit and you have faith, pray for yourself. Be healed in Jesus' name. I mean, just stand in front of your bed when you do that, just in case you might, something might happen. You know, we really need to expect miracles because, you know, every single person that came to Jesus got a miracle. Every single one that came to Jesus for a miracle got a miracle. And some got miracles who didn't even come to him. He just went up to them and they got a miracle because of that encounter. When you encounter Jesus, miracles are the result. You know, sometimes Jesus would lay his hands on people. That was the most common way that he would do it. Or sometimes people just touched him and they got healed. On occasions, he just spoke the word. Remember the centurion with the sick servant, paralyzed servant. And Jesus was going to go to his house, but he said, "Oh, no, I'm not worthy of you to come to my house. Besides, you don't need to. I'm a man in authority, you know. I have people under me and people over me, and I understand authority. You just got to say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus was like, "Whoa, that's pretty awesome, you know. And I've never seen faith like this in Israel." And his servant was healed. Just say the word. You know, it's amazing. In this last series of crusades in Kenya, the middle town, Migori, I was telling James about it yesterday. It's a crazy town. And there was riots going on all across Kenya. And this town, Migori, is one of the hot spots. And so in the 2 weeks that we're there, on two different occasions, we were locked up in our hotel for 24 hours while gunshot and everything were going around the town and tear gas and riots and burning you know, wrote blockages across the roads, and they took our big billboards and burned them up, and they threatened us if we put our stage up in the stadium, they were going to burn it down. So we ended up putting it on a car park down in the middle of town. It was actually quite well exposed, but it was on a sealed area. And I'm preaching on healing in this particular meeting, and there was a man over to my right. And what I normally do is I say, you know, if you're sick in your body, you've got pain in your body, something's not working, put your hand on that part of your body. And then I will start to bind infirmity, and then I'll declare and decree healing to certain parts of people's bodies. And as I'm speaking, and I said, if you've got more than one thing wrong with you, just put your hand on your head. And this guy was standing with his hand on his head. And as I am praying healing, it was like someone came up and just whacked him in the head with a baseball bat. This guy just literally just went, poof, backwards through the crowd of people and onto the concrete. I thought, this is going to be interesting. But just a little while later, during testimony time, here he is up on the platform. I didn't tell you what was wrong with him, did I? You see, this was in August last year, this happened. In November of the year before, because of diabetes and hypertension, he had a stroke. And he was paralyzed down one side. And as he also, it affected his speech and his vision. And he'd come out of the hospital, still obviously you're paralyzed from the stroke, and he'd come out of the hospital with also severe pain in his head, severe pain in his chest, and severe pain in his legs. So he was in a real bad way. And then here we were, up on the platform, testifying, jumping up and down, tears in his eyes. He was totally healed of every single symptom. It was awesome. And he wasn't just playing up to the crowd. The next morning, I was actually scheduled to speak in the bishop's church, which was his church. And this guy went to that church, and he was there testifying to his own people exactly what had happened, and they'd seen him on the journey for the last 6 or 7 months. So isn't God amazing? So we can expect miracles. But, you know, this is the challenge. Don't abort a breakthrough. Because modern society breeds impatience. We kind of want everything quick and easy, don't we? You go into some people's houses these days, there's 5 remote controls sitting on their coffee table. One for the TV, one for the DVD, one for the stereo, one for the air conditioner, one for the wife. Maybe for husband. I mean, there's buttons for everything. And the way that they're going, you know, they're going to put implants and all that sort of stuff. Probably we'll be like that one day. But, you know, and there's fast foods and actually, what you call it? Gladstone doesn't have a real lot of different options downtown. But there's a few. But, you know, fast foods and all that, McDonald's, you know. I remember McDonald's some years ago had a special deal. Do you remember this? If you didn't get your burger in 1 minute, they gave it to you for free. Do you remember that one? I mean, it stuck in some of our minds. Why? Because I would go in there, I'd order a burger, and I would pray that something would go wrong. Someone would fall over in the kitchen or something, you know, just so I could get my burger for free, because I wanted to buy another one and have 2 for the price of 1, you know. But I remember going to Macca's sometime after that, and my friends ordered, they sat down, I ordered a McFeast, and the guy looked over the counter at me in fear and trepidation, and he's like, oh, your burger will be 1.5 minutes, is that all right? Like I was going to have road rage because my burger was going to be 1.5 minutes. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, but this is modern society, isn't it? People go from McDonald's to McChurch. They do. They come to church and they expect their needs met straight away. If it's not, they're off to the church down the road. I mean, you might be here because your needs weren't met down the road. I don't know. But, you know, someone prays for us, and if we don't have immediate change in our symptoms and circumstances, we start speaking negative and, oh, God doesn't care about me and blah, 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 and all this sort of stuff. And we just abort what God is doing. Now, the Bible doesn't say everything's going to happen immediately. I mean, often immediately things happen. I love it when there's immediate miracles. I was praying for a young lady in Harvey Bay, actually, who had an accident with a truck, been hit by a truck. She was smashed up. And, you know, all she said to me was, I've got this bump on the back of my neck and I can't move my head without pain. And so I put my hand on this bump, and as I prayed, literally my hand just went woof like that. I felt it just go boom under my hand. I said to her, whoa, did you feel that? She went, yeah, I could feel that, and I can move my neck, and I got no pain. And I thought, whoa. And then she says, but that's not all. I had one leg shorter than the other, and I had low back pain, and I could feel power going down my leg. I felt my leg growing out. My low back pain disappeared as well. I thought, wow, that's awesome. She got the works burger. But that's not all. Because I was sharing that testimony back in that church just a couple of years ago, and they say, yeah, we remember her. But that's not all. Because she had brain damage in that accident. And when you prayed for her, she was healed of brain damage as well. Praise God, eh? So God's in the healing business today. He's doing it here in Australia as much as he's doing it overseas. But, you know, don't be discouraged if you don't see it happen immediately. I go for immediate miracles. But if you don't see it, it's okay. The Bible says in Mark 16:16-18, these signs shall accompany those who believe. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover or get well. I mean, that may happen in a minute. It may happen in 5 or 10. I prayed for a lady in Yeppoon who had a growth in her eye, a young girl, had a growth in her eye. Her vision was blurry, and it didn't seem like there was any change straight away. I went to lunch with the pastor. An hour later, the mum rings the pastor and says, she's healed. An hour later, I prayed for a man in New Zealand. He had growths all down the side of his body. He woke up the next morning, and they were all gone the next morning. I went back to my hometown in New Zealand. And a little boy, he was about 8 years old, his name was Logan, he came running up to me and he said, you healed me. I said, no, Jesus healed you. But what happened? His mum came to say, listen, little Logan, he had holes in his lungs and bad asthma. And he couldn't walk 100 meters without collapsing on the ground. He had dairy allergies. So he couldn't eat or drink dairy foods. And in New Zealand, that's half the diet, right? And so he was starving to death. But he was also deaf in one ear. So I laid my hands on him. I prayed. I didn't see anything happen. I didn't even really get him to test anything out or anything. But I come back a year later, healed of everything. He's out running races. He's eating ice cream like every good Kiwi could should. And praise God. Amen. So God's in the healing business. But look, we need to understand the way that the Lord works. Jesus was walking into Jerusalem with the disciples. This is in Mark 11. And he walked past the fig tree. And when he saw the fig tree, he went, I feel like a fig right now. He went over to the fig tree, had a look. There's no figs on the fig tree. That figures. And bad joke. And he cursed it. You rotten fig tree. No one's going to eat from you again. Walked off. Poor fig tree. It wasn't even the season for figs. But that's another story. He comes back past the tree the next day, and one of the disciples says to Jesus, hey, Jesus, look, that fig tree that you cursed, it's withered from the roots up. From the roots up. This is very important. Very important to understand. I'll just focus on this for a little minute. Because some of our physical problems have spiritual roots or even emotional roots. There was a man in a meeting, he was riddled with arthritis, and there was a word of knowledge that he needed to forgive somebody. And he acknowledged that, he shed tears and repented and forgave a person he'd been harboring bitterness against for some time. And arthritis just left his body. Nobody even laid hands on him. I visited a lady in hospital who nearly died from septicemia, a poison infection. I said to her, you know there's a bigger picture, don't you? She said, yes, I know, I need to forgive some people. I said, good, let's pray. So she prayed and she said, God, I'm sorry, I hated this person, I hated that person, I hated this. And I was like, whoa. I mean, she was talking about some nice people. I thought, no wonder she had poison in her body. She had poison in her soul. You can understand that, right? Now listen, if you've lived long enough, in fact, if you've lived a short time, you probably notice something, that people hurt people, right? We get hurt. Everyone gets hurt. I mean, some people have been hurt really bad, and I don't take that away from anyone if something really shocking has happened to you. But the thing is this, it's not so much a matter of what happens to us, it's how we respond to that. And Jesus gave us the way and the clue of how to respond when he was hanging on the cross. He looked down at those that were, who even put him there, stripped them naked, thrashed them to meat, mincemeat, and nailed him there. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. People who hurt people don't know what they're doing. It's because they probably hurt themselves. They're messed up. That's why they hurt people, right? And so Jesus said, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. And so he said to us also, he gave us the Lord's Prayer. He says, pray this, Lord, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We've got to do it. If we want to receive God's grace and God's blessing in our lives, we've got to be gracious. He even went on to say, if you don't, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your sins. That's pretty serious. So as we forgive, we allow God's grace, we allow God's goodness to work in us and to work through us and to touch others around us. Can you say amen to that? You know, sometimes we need to pray more than once. I was in prison in New Zealand, not because I was a bad boy, but because my brother was a prison chaplain. He invited me to come and preach. I was in my early 20s. I was full of faith. I went into that prison. I said to the prisoners, does anyone here need a miracle? Some guys put their hand up. I said, good, today you're going to get your miracle. Pretty bold, eh? And like these guys come out for prayer, and one of them, he'd ripped his shoulder out. He was in a lot of pain. And so I prayed for him. I said, how's that? And he goes, it's still sore. I turned to my brother. I said, oh, no, he's still sore. My brother's like, that's all right. He said, remember the blind man Jesus prayed for? Remember that guy Jesus prayed? He said, how's that? And the guy's like, oh, I can see people like trees walking around. So Jesus put his hands back on him a second time, and then his sight was fully restored. So we put our hands on the guy a second time and praying away, standing in front of me. He starts swinging his fists. I mean, he nearly punched me in the nose. He turned around and walked out of the room. I thought, he's a fruitcake. So I prayed for some other people. But about 10 minutes later, the guy comes back in the room, puffing away. I said, where have you been? He said, I've been next door in the gym lifting weights. My shoulder's great. I thought that was all right.
I can tell you other stories, you know, but sometimes it's just a matter of continuing to pray. You know, ask people, what's happening? You know, some people say, you say to them, how's that? They say, oh, I've still got pain. I say, how is your pain? What was it before I prayed and what is it now? And they say, oh, it was about 10, but now it's about 8. Well, I say, okay, let's pray again. Pray again, and it goes down a bit more. Pray again sometimes, and it goes down like that. And sometimes we don't give up. We just keep on believing God's doing something, and we just, listen, it's like this. Imagine I go to a doctor because I've got something wrong with my arm, a growth or something, and the doctor's going to cut it out. What's the first thing he's going to do? Jab me with a needle, right? Who likes being jabbed with needles? Nobody, because it hurts, doesn't it? But your arm goes numb, he cuts the greeblies out, he stitches your arm up, and when the anesthetic wears off, what are you experiencing? Pain, right? Now your arm's throbbing, and you think, stupid doctor, I mean, I come to get fixed up, and all I get is pain and pain and more pain, and in your disgust, you're just going out, and you're sweeping the yard, and a bit of dust gets in there, and what happens? Get an infection. Your whole arm goes all gammy and falls off, right? Now, what do you got to do to stop that from happening? You got to put a dressing over it, right? And it protects it until it's completely healed. Now, this is how it is in the prayer of faith. So you pray, and God goes to work. Guess what? Sometimes things might get worse before they get to better when God goes to work first in the root of the problem. Bringing things to the surface, right? And you could go, oh, you know, God didn't hear me, this and that. Start confessing and allowing doubt and unbelief to come and snatch your miracle away. So what do you got to do? Put a dressing over it. What's the dressing? It's the prayer of praise and thanks and affirming the word of God over your situation until your situation lines up with the word of God. Amen? You see, sometimes God will take us on a little journey, teaching us to trust him. It's like, imagine a little boy in a car going on a journey with his dad, and the boy says, Dad, can I have an ice cream? The father says, yeah, sure, son. There's a shot 10 Ks up the road. I'll buy you an ice cream when we get there. And then the kid's like, a minute later, Dad, can I please have an ice cream? Father said, yep, I'll buy you one up the road. Just wait. Minute later, Dad, can I have an ice cream? So the father's saying, what's the matter with you? I said I'm going to get you an ice cream. Has anyone got kids like this? I had kids like this. And, so, and then the kid has a tantrum. I want an ice cream. I mean, what does that father feel like when he gets to the ice cream shop? Forget about it, right? Zoom past that ice cream shop. But imagine another kid in a car going on a journey with his dad. Dad, can I have an ice cream? Father says, sure, son, there's a shop 10 Ks up the road. I'll buy you an ice cream when we get there. The kid's like, awesome. My dad's going to buy me an ice cream. I'm going to get a double cone with 5 scoops. Chocolate dipped, a flake, nuts, sprinkles, cream on the top, a big strawberry. Oh, he just starts dribbling when he's thinking about it. And then he starts to sing about his ice cream. And then he starts to sing about his dad who's going to buy him his ice cream. And it's almost like he's got his ice cream already. And he's certainly enjoying the journey, isn't he? What's the difference between this boy and the other boy? He trusted what his father said. God says it. That's enough for me. The Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit what is promised. Amen. Sometimes the journey takes a little while. Sometimes it happens immediately, but we just believe God together. Final point is this, put feet to your faith. Put feet to your faith. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, faith without works is dead. So if you want to make a stand in faith, sometimes you first need to take a step. This is why in Africa and other places when we pray for people, we'll say, do something you couldn't do before. You know, I told the whole crowd, well, we're going to sing a song, and now move your body, test out what wasn't working, and then people will come and line up to testify of the things happening. Blind eyes open, crippled, you know, people carried to the meetings are healed, and ears are popped open, all sorts of things like that. It's amazing. But there was a girl in a man in a meeting who had broken his arm, and an evangelist prayed for him and said, do something you couldn't do before. So the guy jumped up onto the platform, jumped up onto the pulpit, and did a backwards somersault down onto the altar. The evangelist said, what did you do that for? He said, I couldn't do that before. Don't do that, all right? It might bang your head up here. But one of my favorite evangelists and greatest inspirations was a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. And they called him the apostle of faith. You know, if you had an ulcer or a cancer in your stomach, do you know how he would pray for you? Like this. Be healed. He punched you hard. People sometimes spat ulcers and cancers out of their mouth when he prayed for them. Don't worry, I'm not praying like that today. And he said, I'm not punching the person. I'm punching the disease. But sometimes the person gets in the way, he said. But why did he do that? Because when he was sick and he had tummy problems when he was younger, someone came, punched him in the tummy, and he was healed. So he thought, that's good. I'll try that. And it worked every time. But he raised 14 people from the dead during his ministry. And didn't do that nicely either. Do you know how he would raise someone from the dead sometimes? Pick up the corpse and throw it against the wall. Could you imagine that? Live! Didn't work the first time. It's all right. We'll try that again, shall we? Live! Splat! Didn't work the second time either. All right, third time. Here we go. In the name of Jesus, live! It's like, okay, I'll live, but just stop throwing me against the wall, will you? He had a man come into his meeting with no feet. This is a true story. He just had stumps at the bottom of his legs. And he said to the man, take a step of faith. He told him to go to a shoe shop and buy a pair of shoes. So the man went to the shoe shop, hobbled in there, said to the salesman, I'd like a pair of shoes, please. The salesman's like, we don't have those kind of shoes here. And he said, no, I want a proper pair of shoes. The salesman said, all right, what size do you want? He said, oh, I have size 8 black shoes, please. True story. The guy goes off, gets a pair of size 8 black shoes, comes back, puts the first shoe on the ground. The man takes the stump of his leg, puts it in the shoe, and a foot grew into the shoe. Whoa. Sticks the other foot in the other shoe. A foot grew into that shoe as well. That's what I call putting feet to your faith. Amen. But wow, what an incredible miracle. Faith without works is dead. And sometimes we just need to take that step of faith. And then we see the miracle happen. If I could have at least the keyboard, maybe a singer or two, that'd be probably enough. But I don't know, you guys might want to come up. I don't know what you normally do here, but that's all good. But just for a bit anyway, I want to tell you a story, Book of Acts chapter 3, right? Peter and John are going into the temple at the hour of prayer, and sitting outside the temple is a cripple. He's been there 40 years. And when Peter sees the cripple looks at Peter, and the cripple's expecting arms, right? He gets legs instead, so that's a good deal. But he said, Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. What did he have? He had been just filled with the Holy Spirit a couple of days before. Couldn't wait to get his hands on somebody. Yes, he had faith, and he grabbed this man by the hand, pulled him up to his feet, and he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man was on his feet, and he didn't go, oh, I haven't been on my feet for 40 years. I think I better have a little sit down and have a little rest now. No, the man starts jumping up and down. He starts leaping and praising God, and he caused so much commotion that people came running from all over the city into the temple to see what was going on. I mean, it was pretty awesome. Could you imagine that happening? People coming running into church to see what's happening here. In fact, it wasn't that long ago that I heard a prophetic word about what God's going to do in these days in Australia. And some of the churches in Australia are going to see so many miracles happen that the media is going to come to the churches to report on what's happening. Some churches are going to see so many miracles happening that people will come from overseas to those churches to see what's happening. Who dares to believe this could be one of those churches? Amen. Why don't you stand up with me, and we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to do that, all right? Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you lift your voices? Let's begin to pray like we mean it today. Pray like we believe. Ask God like you don't care who's listening. Just lift up your voice and say, God, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, and we do believe that you are a God of miracles. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for any unbelief that's been in our hearts. And God, we just come to you with an expectation today. We come to you and we ask you, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, that you would release your power. Lord, that you would heal, stretch forth your hand to heal, to make well, to make bodies renewed and restored and lives transformed. Lord, use us for your glory, we pray. Do something wonderful in our midst. Come on, lift your voice, church. Lift your voice, church. Start crying out to God. Start pulling heaven down into this place today. God, we have an expectation that you will do something above and beyond what we've ever seen before. Lord, we believe even in the prophetic word of Smith's Wigglesworth, Molesworth, that the church would see so many people healed. Can't count the number of people saved. Even hospitals emptied out. Do it in this day. Do it through us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. We're going to pray for people today. In fact, I'd like to pray for people in three different categories today. Of course, we're going to pray for healing and for miracles. And if you need a healing or a miracle in your body, later on, we're going to pray for you in this meeting. Also, I want to do something interesting because I have deliberately shared with you my journey. As started as a little boy looking at those pictures in a magazine and then watching that old lady pray for the sick and then watching evangelists and then buying books and listening to CDs. And I still do read books that are, you know, people healing and all that sort of thing. But the time came where I had to step out. I decided, you know, this says in the Bible that this is for everyone who believes. I believe. So I'm going to step out and be a real Christian. And so I started praying for people and people started getting healed. And you might have been listening this morning and thinking, well, if God can use that bozo up the front, he can use me. And it's true. I'm nobody special. I'm just like you. But I just stepped out. I just believed. And so this morning, maybe you'd like God to use you. You'd like to lay hands on the sick and see healings happening. Give me a wave if that's you this morning. You'd like to pray for people. That's great, because in a moment, I'm just going to quickly lay hands on your hands today. We're going to believe for an activation of the flow of the gift of healing through different lives in this place, because I believe that's what's going to be a real characteristic of the move of God that's coming. So we've got to get ourselves ready for that. But before we do that, I just want to pray for one more thing. Jesus said some tough things in the Bible sometimes. Do you know Jesus once said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Remove the part of your body that you've sinned with, he basically said, because, and I'm not telling you to do that, but he went on to say, because it's better for you to enter into heaven missing a hand or missing an eye than it is to go to hell with all your bits and pieces. What's he saying? He's saying the greatest miracle isn't that your body is whole. The greatest miracle is that you are set free from your sin. Because your sin separates you from God. It'll separate you from his presence. It'll separate you from his purposes. It'll separate you from his blessings. And it will separate you from God for eternity. So he sent Jesus to take our sin upon himself, to die in our place, to pay the penalty for us so that we could be free from the punishment of sin and that we could freely come to God without condemnation. We could come to him boldly knowing that our sin issue has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. And all God asks us to do is to believe that Jesus died for us and rose again and then confess him as the Lord of our life. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. Pretty easy, eh? That's it. You shall be saved. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now. Maybe we could close our eyes, bow our heads just for this moment. Now, you are in good company this morning. And nobody's here pointing the finger or anything like that. We just want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus today. And in fact, I'm just going to pray a prayer with all of us in a moment. And if you would like to be included in this prayer because you would like to say yes to God and receive Jesus as your Savior, to have this confident assurance that you are forgiven of your sins, you are made right with God, and you'll spend eternity with him. So you're like, yes, I would like to receive Jesus as my Savior today. While we have our eyes closed, our heads bowed, wherever you are in this room, could you just quickly give me a wave? Hold your hand up. Just wave to me quickly. You're saying, yep, I thank you. That's awesome. Anyone else? Give us a wave. In the middle there, yep. Who else is there? Give us a wave. You're saying, I would like to say yes to Jesus this morning. All right, yeah, that's good. Doesn't matter how old you are. I was 7 when I gave my life to Jesus. It's never too early. It's never too late. Maybe for you, you once prayed a prayer. It might have been years ago. Ask God to forgive you, you know, but you've been struggling. You've been derailed by something, distracted by something, and you're not really walking with God the way you know you should. You got stuff in your life and you're just like, God, I want to get right with you. I want a clean slate. I want a new beginning with you. While we have our eyes closed, while we have our heads bowed, if you'd like just to say, God, I surrender my life afresh. I want to get right with you today. Can you give me a wave as well? Thank you up the back there. Thank you here. Any others? Quickly, we're going to pray together. All right. Yep. Thanks. That's great. So there's been a few, half a dozen maybe people raised their hand this morning. So we're going to just pray a prayer together, okay? And I'd like us all to pray this prayer just to support and encourage those that raised their hands. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you felt you should have. You're having a little struggle right there. Why don't, while we pray this prayer, you mean it with all of your heart. God's going to respond to the prayer that comes from your heart this morning. So come on, let's pray together with all of our heart and with a loud voice. Father God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you have a good plan for my life. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for my sin. Forgive me for my sin. I turn from it today. I give you my life. Live in me. Help me to live for you. Help me fulfill the plan you have for me. Thank you for cleansing me and giving me a brand new start. I love you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. Huh? Listen, if you did pray that for the first time today, we'd really love to help you on your journey with God. Come and see one of the pastors here from the front row, or is there someone else in the team, James, or just you guys here? At the end of the meeting anyway, just come up while we're praying for others. Just feel free to come up and just say, I prayed that prayer. I said yes to Jesus. We'd love to give you a Bible, maybe some other material to help you on your journey with God, okay? That'd be awesome. So what we're going to do right now is miracles. You ready? But first of all, if you want to be used by God in miracles, I want you to get out of your seat very quickly and come to the front. Make a line right across the front. Come quickly. Don't wait for others. You say, yes, I would like to lay hands on the sick and see miracles happen. Come on out. We're going to pray. That's awesome. That's great. This is good. This is, as I said, this is what normal Christianity is. These signs shall accompany those who believe. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me, the works that I do, shall you do also. Not you may be able to do it. He said, shall you do it? In other words, you shall do it. It's what we're supposed to do. Amen. And so, any others, you want to come out and say, yeah, I'd love to be a real Christian. I'd love to lay my hands on the sick and see them healed. I'd love to do the works that Jesus himself did. So you come and join those ones that are here, and we're going to believe God together. Then what we're going to do is we are going to pray for miracles, all right? We're going to pray for healing. And listen, if you're here and you are wanting to be used by God, but you also need a miracle, once I laid my hands on your hands, just stick around. Just stay where you are. If I've laid my hands on your hands, don't go back to your seat. Just maybe step back a little bit, because after we've prayed for you who are wanting to pray for the sick, we're going to pray for the sick. And I just want you guys to surround those people that we're praying for and believe together with us. Because once I've prayed for you, something I believe is going to get activated in your life. I want you to understand the power isn't coming from me. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. But there is a thing called impartation. There's a thing called activation. And just simply through the laying on of hands, sometimes it can trigger something and ignite something in our lives that God uses in the coming days. Amen. So we're going to do that. Stick around after I prayed for you. And stick around if you need a miracle. And others, if you need a miracle, in a moment when you've seen me pray for these ones here, you feel free to come on out and we will pray for you this morning and believe that God will heal you. Amen. Listen, if you put your hand up earlier on in the meeting to say, I would go out to get Jesus lay hands on me, you're going to get an opportunity for that today. Not him in person, but somebody is going to lay hands on you, and it's Jesus who will touch you today if you need a miracle. Amen. So we're just going to worship God for a moment. I'm going to come, lay my hands on hands, and we're going to kind of put your hands together. If you could put your hands together for me like this, it just makes it easy. I'm going to put my hand on two hands at once. It's like you're receiving a gift from heaven. But as I come, I also want one thing. Please don't be looking to me. Don't be kind of sitting there waiting for me to come as if it's me who's going to do everything. No, I want you to be looking to Jesus. Be looking to Jesus. Start even crying out to him. Just, Lord, I want to receive this gift from you. Would you do this in my life? I offer myself as an instrument to you, that you would flow through me and touch many lives. And just keep that attitude and that prayer going. And as I come and pray, then God will just ignite something. If you could just give us a song, that'd be great. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning.
Be saved.
You're a God of miracles, Lord. You're a God of miracles. Father, we thank you for this beautiful man of God. We thank you for your hand upon his life. We thank you for this church that he leads. And Father, we just pray for an increase in miracles and signs and wonders, Lord, that you would flow through James like never before. And he would see extraordinary things happening in your hand, at your hand, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray as this whole breaking out of miracles begins in these last days, Lord. Father, we pray, let it happen for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for it, God. Father, flow, empower through these hands. Lord, even through today, begin working mightily, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Flow in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just encourage you, engage with God right now. Don't be passive. You know, the Bible says, heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That doesn't mean you're mean and nasty. It just means you're a little bit more passionate and you're a little bit more serious about getting hold of God. And so I encourage you, really press in. If you need to this morning, just be getting your heart right with God. You know, I was talking about forgiveness and things like that. You might be just saying, God, just let grace flow through me. Let grace flow through me today in Jesus' name. Father, flow in power, miracles, signs, and wonders, healings for your glory, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Flow through these hands. Thank you, God. Do something extraordinary. God, miracles. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. Great miracles for the glory of God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, use them for your glory. Do something amazing through these hands. Miracles, Lord, healings. Oh God, to believe, dare to believe. Thank you, Lord. Flow through this life in miracle power in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, use this mighty man, Lord, for extraordinary miracles. That faith will explode in him, Lord. And you'll use him to see many healed and many set free. Nothing will intimidate him, but the devil will get intimidated by what he does for your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for those miracles, God. Jesus, thank you, Lord, flowing power through this life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, flowing power through these hands. Miracles, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord, you believe. I can see that you believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, flowing power. Yes, God, miracle power through this life. In the name of Jesus, receive that. Receive that. You know, God flows through different lives in different ways. Some are quite aggressive, and I'm not encouraging you to do something too crazy when you pray for people, but you might just be bold in the way you do it. Sometimes we get angry at the enemy or angry at sickness, and that's okay, but you know, some of us are very gentle in the way that we minister, and that's okay. God's not asking you to change who you are. He will flow through you according to your personality and according to the power of his Spirit, because it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. So you be you, but just give God opportunity to flow through you. Lord, through these hands, release your power in Jesus' mighty name. Power for miracles. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, some of you have been believing for a miracle breakthrough for a long time in some circumstance, and God is about to do some things that you've not seen before. Thank you for the miracles, Lord. Thank you for the miracles, God. Do it, Lord. Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shikamarabakatata. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Smith Wigglesworth used to go in prayer into, like, almost into heaven in prayer. He would reach up and take hold of the miracles for people and bring them down. And I want to encourage you, even as you're standing here, you may have already received prayer or you're about to, I want you to start reaching up to God to take hold of the healings for different ones. And God might even give you words of knowledge. God might even show you what he's going to do through your life. Thank you, Lord, for the healing, for the miracles, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Flow through Malcolm in a mighty way, Lord. Extraordinary things happening. Great faith and boldness. Lord, the enemy beginning to tremble in his boots in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for this power flowing. Holy Spirit, flow in power. Let these hands be healing hands, Lord. because Jesus is in it. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. Flow in miracle power. Mighty God, do it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, do it, Lord. The name of Jesus, let your miracle power flow through these hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Use them. Use them. Use Christ's life. Oh, God. Be glorified through his life. Mighty name of Jesus. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the breakthroughs. Oh, bold. Nations faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heal. Give his hands. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, you're good, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the miracles. Thank you for the healings. Flow through these hands. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Flow in power, Holy Spirit. Flowing power, mighty God. Through these hands, Lord. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Lord. These hands, be healing hands. Thank you, Father. Oh, for your glory, Lord. Flow through him, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Flow through him, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, do it, Lord. Through these hands, in Jesus' mighty name. We believe, Lord. We believe. We believe. God. Yeah. God's on you. Receive that. Receive that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Almighty God. Almighty God. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. You're good, Lord. You're good, Lord. You know, however God may use us when we're praying for people, the foundation and the key to that is love. It's not all about you. It's about them. It's about being moved by what you see in people and wanting to see them made well and treating them with dignity and ministering to them with love. And when you are really carried by love and moved and motivated by love, you get angry at sickness, but you're not angry at the person, as I explained that with Mr. Wigglesworth. But you know, you just want to bring healing and life to people, amen. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to close the meeting for anyone who wants to go, but we're going to keep it open for anyone who wants a healing. And for those who, as I say, have laid hands on your hands, and I want you to help us out. We've got a team, obviously, in the church that comes to help us to pray. But if you this morning want to be part of that, this is a great place for you to begin laying hands on people and seeing some things happen at your hands. And we're going to pray some prayers of faith this morning. You know, when we pray for healing, and I just give a little tip from me, I don't treat sickness nicely, if I can say that. You know, you got to treat sickness like it's a naughty little brat. You know, and it's not that you scream your head out, but you take authority, and you speak with authority, because Jesus said, "I have given you authority over all the works of the enemy." So you take authority over sickness. You speak to it like it hears you, and sometimes, you know, there may be some spiritual thing wrapped up with that. It doesn't really matter whether you get all into that or, but you just focus on getting that thing out, commanding it to go, and then just releasing healing power into the, releasing the power of God into the situation, and God will heal. Okay, so how many people need a miracle? Give me a wave. Need a miracle in the up there? Come if you need a miracle. Make the front row if you need a miracle. Just if you are going to pray, step forward, make so those people can come, and you're going to help us praying for them. Need a miracle? Make one row, sort of. Who's the miracle people? Who needs a miracle? Hands up again. Okay, so we've got this row here needing a miracle. You guys going to be used? Or, yeah, you stand for just a little bit. Miracle, across here. All right, cool. Hey, I'm going to get myself one of those. Maybe not for that reason, though. Awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So the team's just gonna keep us in the presence of God. We're going to continue worshiping. We're going to come. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. The team's going to come. And those of you who are here, I just encourage you, just start laying your hands on people with us and start praying with us this morning. It's okay, James? Yeah, come behind and come around, and we're going to believe God for these ones this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for the miracles today. Jesus' mighty name. You're good, Lord. You're good, Lord.
For there is still an empty grave. We'll see.